Turning in the Word of God to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. Can I thank you again for your support and prayers over this past year? It certainly was greatly appreciated. And we will certainly be remembering you in prayer. We will be praying for you. And I have, a few meetings when I get back. And I've been asked to mention something of Australia. And, I may mention about sharks and snakes and spiders. And, there's a fourth one, saints. I might mention the saints of God, not any patron saints. I don't know if you have patron saints here, but the saints of God. We'll mention the saints of God and we'll exhort others to remember and to pray for you here. But Acts chapter 20, and we'll take our reading from verse number 28. And we'll continue on a slightly different angle from where we were last Lord's Day. But Acts chapter 20, the verse 28, let us hear the word of the Lord. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 35, knowing the Lord will bless it this afternoon for his name's sake. Let us unite together in a word of prayer, and let us seek the Lord, please. Eternal God and our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee that we can turn to thy truth this day. And we thank thee for the word of God that is inspired by thee. And we thank thee that we can rely upon it, that we can trust it. We rejoice in the guidance that it gives to us. And Father, we ask that thou wilt indeed continue to undertake for us here. Bless thy truth as it goes forth. May find a place, a resting place in souls. Father, we pray that thou wilt apply thy truth to the salvation of sinners, to the edification of thy people, and the restoration of those who are cold at heart. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. As we considered together last Lord's Day afternoon, the Apostle Paul had arrived at a place called Miletus, and there he met with the elders of the church at Ephesus. This was his farewell. This was the last time that he would be here, and he would be speaking to these men. Of course, they would meet again together one day, and that gives great comfort. But Paul here was taking his leave. It was a sorrowful occasion. It was a difficult occasion. It was an emotional occasion. But he takes this opportunity to go and to deal with some very important matters and to lay these things before the elders of Ephesus. And we considered some of these things last Lord's Day in regard to vital aspects of the ministry. And certainly, we're not merely thinking of those who are elders or ministers. Those perhaps who are the office bearers in this congregation, but those things are applicable to each and every believer. And what we are going to consider this afternoon, again, Paul was speaking to elders. That is the background. And of course, that does not mean that you all switch off apart from our brother, Mr. Spears, who is the elder here. You may think, well, it's elders. Doesn't apply to me. I can catch up on some sleep. But these things apply to us all. The background is Paul dealing with the elders of the church, encouraging them, exhorting them. But the things which he said are very important for us to know and to understand. I want to consider then Paul's farewell message to the elders of Ephesus. We're going to deal with this slightly generally, moving down from verse 38. But I want to mention three specific things that Paul deals with here. And firstly, we see the dangers that awaited. The dangers that awaited. Notice verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. The dangers that awaited. The Apostle Paul had a great care and concern for the Church of Christ, especially the churches that had been established and had been edified under his own ministry. Ephesus was no exception. The servant of God spent 3 years in that place, laboring. As we noticed last Lord's Day, he had been there in the past in Acts chapter 18, and he had ministered there. Verse 19 and verse 20 says, when they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sealed from Ephesus. And in Acts chapter 19, we see that the apostle came back to this place. And again in Acts 20, we see that he spent 3 years there preaching the gospel of Christ and instructing the people of God. He had a care of the congregations in that particular place, and they were certainly close to his heart. But now he, after setting forth his ministry, and the things that he did with the implication that they were to continue in his footsteps, they were to show humility, they were to show consistency, they were to preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle now comes and he warns them of the dangers that awaited in future days. He warns them about a serious attack upon the church. And these things are applicable not just to the church at Ephesus, but to every church. The devil is on the attack. And as we've seen in the discipleship class, the devil is on the attack. He uses the means, the wiles, his trickery, to tempt and to deceive. And he tempts and deceives believers. He tempts and deceives churches that profess Christ as their God and as their Savior. But the apostle warns the elders about this attack. Verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in amongst you. When we think of these things, we think of the devil coming in like a wolf and devouring the flock of God. It is interesting what the apostle says, because he says that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. It certainly is believed that the Apostle Paul was concerned because, well, it was one thing. It was one thing to stand against those men who had been saved under his ministry and who had been set up. And it was quite another thing to stand in front of the Apostle Paul and to contend spiritual matters with him. The Apostle Paul was a man of grace and compassion. He was also a man who was very firm and very strong upon the great doctrines of faith. If you came to try and preach doctrine that was heretical or doctrine filled with errors, Paul was not a man that you would want to contend with. He was not a man that you may think might be humorous to mention there were snakes outside. He was a brave man. He was a courageous man. He was a man who was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And in the Church of Christ, time and time again, God has raised up such men. Men that have taken a stand. Men against whom no one could stand against because of the power of God. But then, after their departure, as we see Paul warning here, there are things that crept in to the Church of Christ. The devil attacked. The devil attacked. I want you to notice some things about the attack. We see, firstly, there was an external attack. Paul is speaking here of an attack that comes externally. Verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And this we can expect. We can expect men who come from the outside to the inside with the very purpose of dividing asunder the work of God, of causing difficulties and of causing problems. And men who are apostates, men who are ungodly, men who speak evil. This is what Paul is warning about, those who will come in and attack the Church of Christ. The Apostle Jude warns in Jude chapter 3, he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." And what Jude is saying is that this very thing will happen. This very thing has happened. Men have crept in who are ungodly into the Church of Christ. And across this world we can see men who are ungodly who have crept into the Church of Christ. And the warning of Paul certainly has foundation. In the books of Nehemiah and Ezra, I've maybe mentioned it before when we considered Haggai. Again, the men came from the outside. They wanted to align themselves with the people of God. And God's people, God's servants, said no. They wanted to draw alongside, not to help. They may have said that they were going to help. They wanted to serve the same God, but their actions, their motives, were not the same. They wanted to creep in and divide the church, divide the work in those days from within. And this is what Paul is warning about. Those who will come in, those who will devour, grievous wolves not spurring the flock. If you had a flock of sheep and wolves entered in, and, well, nothing was done to prevent the wolves, well, the wolves wouldn't just run up to the sheep and run away again. You know what they would do. And the sheep themselves would be absolutely defenseless. The wolves would devour the flock. That is the intention of Satan. That is the intention of Satan. Let me make it clear. That is what Satan desires to do to the work of God. Send in the wolves. Destroy the work. And Paul is saying that Satan will attempt this. There's internal dangers as well. Verse 30, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." This is something which we do not expect. Something we do not expect. Because here Paul is saying of their own selves, there will be men amongst their number, men perhaps who will come from inside the church and join their number, who will speak perverse things. They will try and draw away disciples after them. And that word perverse means morally corrupt. They will speak things that are morally corrupt or things that are misinterpreted. They will misinterpret the word of God. They will misinterpret the teaching of Scripture. And their aim is to draw away disciples after them, to divide the flock. Instead of destroying the flock, to divide the flock, and to take those who will follow away from the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think of men coming from our own selves, our ties and our bond with others can hinder us from seeing such problems. Our ties and our bond, even a bond that families can have, can hinder us from seeing such problems. That is something we need to be aware about. We can think very highly of people, and when they start misinterpreting the Word of God, and when they start perhaps going as far as speaking things that are morally corrupt, well, because of the bond, the tie we have, we go along with it. We unwittingly give our support, and problems and dangers arise. Paul is saying not only false teachers, but some would spring up out of their own communities, John Gill said. Some perhaps who had been admitted as members. And they would say things that were disagreeable to the scriptures, but men would follow after them to draw away disciples, to rend members away from the church, to make divisions, to destroy the work of God from within. We considered on Tuesday evening at the discipleship class, Thomas Brooks, and we considered his device, the device that Satan uses against the saints of God. And Thomas Brooks said that this device involves Satan working them first to be strange, and then to divide, and then to be bitter and jealous, and then to bite and devour one another. A problem coming from within. A problem coming from within the saints of God. He uses Galatians 5, 14 and 15. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And Satan's desire is to turn Christians against other Christians, to cause problems within the church of Christ. And as we said on Tuesday evening, we need to be aware. We need to be aware of the wiles and the trickery of the evil one. The wiles and trickery of the devil. But there are dangers that await. Dangers that await. Paul had a concern of the church at Ephesus, a concern of the men there, those whose responsibility it was to lead the work. And he's telling them, he's informing them of these things. Notice here the directions that were given. The directions that were given. Verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And verse 31 as well. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And the Apostle Paul comes and he gives this exhortation. We've considered some of the dangers that can arise. But now he comes and he exhorts the elders. He exhorts those involved in the church to take heed. To take heed. Firstly, they have to take heed to themselves. Take heed to themselves. It is very easy to look at others. It is very easy to deal with others. It is very easy to show others the right path that they're expected to walk in. But when it comes to dealing with ourselves, it is a different matter entirely. These men were to deal with themselves. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. There was a realization, firstly, here of their position. They had to realize their position within the Church of Christ. They were overseers. They were the elders. They were those that God had ordained and God had set apart to be there in charge of the work of God. And they must take heed to themselves. We can think of the qualifications that Paul gives over in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll turn to those. And certainly, these are the qualifications that are expected of those who, well, are bishops, ministers, elders in the Church of Christ. And the apostle lays these forth. And of course, they are good principles for every believer. They're expected, they're required of those who hold office in the Church of Christ. But there are also things that should be found in every child of God. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And Paul goes on, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. And he continues down that particular portion of the Word of God. These are the qualifications, those things that are expected of those men who God has elected to office in the Church of Christ. Over in Acts chapter 20, those were the things that were expected of these men. These men were elected to office. They held that office because they met those qualifications. They were men who did those things. They were men by the grace of God who walked in the way and in the path of God. But they were to take heed to themselves. How can they lead? How can they take care if they fall into such sins themselves? They're to take care not only of themselves but to the flock, because the Holy Ghost hath made them overseers. They had leadership of the flock, and this is a vital point. They were given the oversight of the work of God. They were leaders. It was their responsibility to lead the flock. Their responsibility to guide the flock. Paul was once in that position. Paul was there in that particular church, the church of Ephesus, doing these things, serving the Lord. But now those men, those to whom he was speaking, they were to step up and they were to take over. And they were to lead the flock of God. They were given this position by the Spirit of God, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. The position of elder, and certainly in view here are ruling elders and teaching elders, those men who are the ministers of the gospel of Christ as well. And they were given this position by the Spirit of God. The Lord had moved, the Lord had guided, the Lord had set them apart. And like back when Paul and Barnabas were going on the first missionary journey, the Lord, the Spirit of God had called and the Spirit of God set them apart for that work, and the Church of Christ recognized it. They were given this position by the Spirit of God. Today many feel, or many take this position themselves. They take the role of elder themselves. They take the role of minister or pastor themselves. The Spirit of God has not given them that role. The Spirit of God has not led and guided them. But they aspire to those things themselves. Part of that is what causes problems in the Church of Christ. Paul is saying about those coming in, their own selves arising as well. Men who give themselves positions that they ought not to have. But the apostle is saying to these men, he's saying to the leaders of the church here, they are overseers. They have a duty. They have a responsibility. Secondly, here there is a recognition of the flock of God. The recognition of the flock of God. We see this in regard to the responsibility they have. We'll come to that in a second. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The people that they were in charge of, the flock that they were overseers of, were not just a random bunch of people found in the city of Ephesus. They were not a group that they had gathered together out of society. They're not just a random bunch of people in that community who happened to come to the services. The flock that they were overseers of was the church of God. The church of God whom he hath purchased with his own blood. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He died upon the cross of Calvary for his people. He died to redeem a people unto himself. He died for his church. And these men have been set up as overseers over the flock of God. And that is a serious thing. When we think of flock, well, we think of sheep. And, well, those of you who are farmers, probably the majority of you are farmers, you know how serious it is when problems arise in the flock. When issues arise within your flock, or whatever type of farming you have experience with, when problems arise, well, it is serious. There's money involved. There's time involved. But when we think of the Church of Christ, the flock of God, one of the most valuable things in this world, because they have been purchased with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Many today don't realize that. Many today seek to cause havoc within the church. Many today have no real understanding what the church is. They come and go between different churches. They have no a real desire to go forward with God. They cause havoc within the Church of Christ, and they fail to realize that it is not a community group. It is not just a bunch of people coming to a social club. They are the Church of Christ, purchased by the precious blood of the Savior. And we need to recognize the flock of God. We need to realize what we are ourselves in the sight of God. It will give us a respect for the people of God. It will give us a love for other believers. It will give us a desire for each other to go forward in the things of God. Here in this church, we're not a random bunch of people who've just come together. There may be family ties between us. There may be friendship between us. We're not a random bunch in that sense who just happen to come here every week. There's family ties, yes, but above and beyond that, we are the Church of Christ, purchased with his own blood. Purchased with his own blood. And these dangers that Paul was talking about, grievous wolves entering in, their own selves rising up, men coming out, speaking perverse things, seeking to draw away and divide the flock, is an attack upon the church of Christ that has been purchased with his own blood. That is serious. That is serious. Paul is saying that there are men coming who will disrupt and divide and destroy that which God has purchased for himself with his own blood. This is something these men had to understand. This is something we need to understand. when we come to the house of God and when we fellowship with each other, we are the church of Christ, purchased with the blood of the Savior. There is something important about that. There's something significant about that. We don't come in and treat each other with disrespect. We don't come in seeking to divide each other. We realize that we have all been purchased. Those of us who profess faith in Christ have been purchased by His own blood. We are the flock of God, the church of Christ. They were to recognize the flock of God, and if a man, a minister, whoever it may be, does not recognize the flock of God for what it is, then he has no right to be in such a position. They are the church of Christ. They're not his flock. They're not people with whom he can argue with if he doesn't like them, or he can send them away from the church if he doesn't want them there. He's not to be a dictator. He's to recognize the church of Christ for what it is. They have a responsibility to God as well. Paul gives this direction, a responsibility to God. And they were to feed the church of God. We've seen the significance of the church of God, the flock of God. There is a responsibility here to feed the church of Christ. This was the task that they were given. They were given. They were to feed the flock of God. Over in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. We have the Lord Jesus Christ and we have Peter in view. And this is very, very significant because we have the Lord Jesus Christ and we have Peter. And well, the last time that they were together was when Peter betrayed or denied the Savior. He denied him three times. But now in verse 15 of John 21, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He had went back to his fishing at the commencement of this chapter. He had went back to his trade. And it is believed the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to those things. Lovest thou me more than the nets, the boat, the fishing? He says, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time. And Peter denied the Savior three times himself. Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. The role of the pastor, the elder, the church of Christ is to feed, to instruct the flock of God. Paul is saying here that the elders were to take great care over the feeding of the flock of God. And we need to, as the people of God, be fed spiritually, reading the Word of God, hearing the Word of God proclaimed, gathering together at the house of God. We need to be fed. We need to be fed. We see here as well, there was a remembrance of Paul's example. A remembrance of Paul's example. Verse 31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And we see here that Paul is exhorting the people here to watch. Therefore watch and remember. Paul himself was one who watched. He watched like a shepherd the flock of God. Watched like a shepherd the flock of God. And he's telling them here to watch and remember. Remember what he did. Remember the things that had taken place. There was a warning as well. We mentioned that, I believe, last week. He says, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. They were to remember that Paul watched. They were to remember that Paul warned. And they were to remember as well in verse 31 that Paul wept. I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He had tears because he realized that there were souls outside of Christ. He had tears because he had a love for them. He had tears because he realized that time was short and they had to turn to Christ as Savior. Paul was a great preacher of the Word of God. We mentioned last week, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the substance of the message he preached. If you do not know or you have not experienced repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not a Christian. You know not the Savior. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. When we think of Paul's weeping night and day with tears, we think verse 19, the temptations brought him many tears. It was not an easy work. It was not an easy work. And the people of God here, the elders, were being told that it wasn't an easy work. Let me say today that it is not an easy work. Living for Christ in this day and this age is not an easy work. Living for Christ in our community is not an easy work. But as believers, it is what is expected of us. And then finally we have the declaration that was necessary. The declaration that was necessary. Verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The word commend in this verse is translated from a word that means to commit or to deposit for safekeeping. And, well, it's the same word that the Savior used when he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. God is the protector of his people. God is the protector of his people and he's commending them to God. He is leaving. His departure is imminent. And he's commending the people here, the elders, the flock of God, to God and to the word of his grace. It is a commendation that was absolutely necessary because they were now to go forward without the apostle. They were to continue in the work of God without the apostles' presence and the apostles' preaching. There would be no more visits from Paul as the path that he had was different. He was going to Rome to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. He would not return again to the city of Ephesus. And as he closes, he commends the people, he commends the elders to God and to the word of his grace. To God and to the word of his grace. He focuses their attention upon the God of heaven. The God of heaven. He also speaks a word regarding edification. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The word of God builds up the saint. If we are to overcome the enemy, if we are to stand against the dangers that the devil will seek to put upon us, we must look to God and to the word of his grace. If we are to be strong as the people of God, we need to look to the Lord and to the word of his grace. If as a church and we are to stand for God and we are to be built up and we are to go forward, we must Look to God and to the word of his grace. Edification comes from the Lord and from his precious word. Paul is here saying things that are important to spiritual growth. If God is ignored, if the word of God is set aside, there will not be spiritual growth. He's warning the men here in Ephesus that the devil will attack, but they're to take heed to themselves. And if they want to go forward, they're to look to God and to the word of his grace, that which is able to build you up. In regard to this congregation, all that is needed, is the words of the apostle here. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Nothing else can. If as a congregation you look to other things and not to God and to the work of his grace, then things will not go forward for God. Things will not go forward for God. If we want to be edified, if we want to go forward for God, we need to look to him, to the word of his grace, to his word, to prayer. Paul then mentions an inheritance. To give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The word of God enriches the saint. The word of God protects us. The word of God, as a commentator said, makes us rich in faith, in service, in character. It makes us rich in spiritual rewards. There is a great inheritance for the child of God. Great inheritance in glory for us. It's a great inheritance here. A spiritual inheritance on earth. And Paul is looking ahead to the work of God, to the work that needs to be done for God. He commends them to the Lord for edification and for that inheritance. If you want the blessing of God, then you must look to the Lord, to the work of his grace, not to the things that you can accomplish yourselves, not to other means, the right side of the scriptures, but to the Lord and to the word of his grace. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. It is the same church in view. The angel, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, a message from Christ to this church. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And is born and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. And there's a commendation for this church. They did labor. They did work. They looked at those who were evil, and they cast them out. They tried them according to the word of God. Those that came in to destroy, those from inside that tried to divide, they tried them according to the word of God. They realized that they were not apostles. They were not sent by God. They were found out to be liars. This church has labored and struggled. They've had patience. They haven't fainted. They haven't given up. All of Paul's advice here seems to have a lasting effect upon this church, apart from one thing. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. What happened was they lost their first love. They were very busy. They were to be commended for that, but they lost their first love. They did not have that relationship with Christ that they ought to have had. And as a result, the Savior had something against them. All their labor, all their work counted for naught because they had left their first love. Let us learn from the example of Ephesus. They certainly did a work in the sense they stood against those that were evil. They stood firm, they did not faint. But through it all, they lost their first love. May we not look to other things that will take our eyes of Christ. May our eyes be focused firmly upon the Savior. May never be said of ourselves, by the Savior, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Paul's generation, when this letter was penned, the men that he spoke to, many of them probably would have passed on. It was the next generation that had arisen, like we considered on Tuesday evening. But amidst all the changes, this is what happened. They stood firm, they continued in the work, but they left their first love. May we keep close to the Savior. May the Lord bless. May the Lord be our portion for his name's sake. Amen.